Good morning again as we gather together for our online worship. As you join us, know that you join many other people as we share together in this format. And so invite you as we begin our worship to sing together as we sing Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. And so we turn to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, you are the King of creation. You are the one who is present in every moment of our lives. Lord, as we sang that hymn, we're reminded of your goodness and your mercy. We're reminded, Lord, of what brings us to this point as we come to adore you. We praise you, Lord, for who you are. And we would come in this moment, Lord, to ask that you would speak to us and challenge us as we read your word. We would pray, Lord, that as we respond to that through your Spirit, you would help us to change life, to live life differently, to respond to situations in a more Christian way, in a way that is filled with grace and love. As we live life, Lord, always in response to who you are, and to what you mean to us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time of worship, recognizing often we fall short of the life you call us to live. Often we've said things, done things, and thought things which have so hindered the spread of the gospel and of the witness of your kingdom. We would pray, Lord, and ask that you would forgive us for all our sins. For all those times we've used words, shared in actions, or even thought things that have not been in sync with your kingdom. Forgive us, Lord, for all our sins, we pray. Release us from that burden, We pray, Lord, your grace and your mercy again would flood our lives, restore our relationship with you, and in this moment, Lord, to know that you are with us. You again receive us through your amazing grace and your ever-deepening mercy. So, Lord, we say thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this moment of worship. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Thank you for who you are, for what you mean to us. And thank you, Lord, that we make this moment to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John Geedy was a Christian Canadian missionary who went to the New Hebrides to help evangelize the cannibals of the area. Upon his death, a plaque was made and was left in his honor. And on that plaque appear these words: "When he came here in 1848, there were no Christians. When he left in 1872, there were no heathen." It has been said that each person influences at least 7 other people each day. Think about that for a moment. Every one of us influences at least 7 people every day. It might not be our intent to impress, but we need to remember that we're always leaving an impression. And there's some interesting phrases that surround impressions. We have first impressions. I was always told, if you're ever going to sell your car, make sure that you wash it, clean it, vacuum it, polish it, because first impressions count. When people see a sparkling new car, they're more inclined to take the deal further than if they see some sort of dirty, washed out car. When you enter a restaurant, or even when you go to church, the welcome you receive is the first impression you have of that particular place. And your first impression can often lead to other impressions. We need to make sure that when we welcome people into our churches, that it is with warmth and inviting, so people tend to want to be there. First impressions count. What about lasting impressions? What do people remember most? So a social event could leave a lasting impression, or a concert that somebody went to, or some other form of activity. Things happen and it leaves a lasting impression. Just last week in Cape Town, there were huge thunderstorm, not much rain, but lots of thunder and lightning causing fires on Table Mountain. But it left a lasting impression in what we witnessed. A specific experience can leave a lasting impression as we remember things. And so the list can go on and on. We have fleeting impressions, or faint impressions, or false impressions. Those things that are unintentional. Like when people look at me, they might say, "Oh, well, you look like Brad Pitt." Well, clearly not. That would definitely be a false impression. We also have misleading impressions. Man was backing out of a car park and accidentally scraped the car next to him. There was a crowd of people watching nearby and they saw the incident. The man stops and he gets out his car, and finding a pen and paper, he starts writing the following note: "There are people close by who are watching me. They think that I'm leaving my name and number for you to contact me, but obviously I'm not." But that was a misleading impression. Impressions affect and create perceptions And sometimes it's difficult to distinguish between the two. We're all aware of the dangers of social media, of the impressions and perceptions that are caused so easily, and often things are misinterpreted and create a false or incorrect impression. So let me ask you this question. What impression are you leaving in your wake? Is the impression that you're leaving behind, is that in sync with your faith? Is it in sync with the kingdom of God? For we all leave an impression. Hear these words from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. The lame beggar is healed. One day, Peter and John went to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the hour for prayer. There at the beautiful gate, as it was called, was a man who had been lame all his life. Every day he was carried to the gate to beg for money from the people who were going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John going in, he begged them to give him something. They looked straight at him, and Peter said, "Look at us." So he looked at them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said to him, "I have no money at all, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I order you to get up and walk." Then he took him by his right hand and helped him up. At once the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and started walking around. Then he went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. The people there saw him walking and praising God, and when they recognized him as the beggar who had sat at the beautiful gate, they were all surprised and amazed at what had happened to him. What a day for the man. He had hoped for a handout, and that was his impression. Asking people for money as they entered the temple. And here come these two men who are going to the temple. What can they give? A handout, maybe some money, or as we would read it in the New Testament, alms. But what did this man get? This man got healing. For the first time in his life, he received the use of his legs. The people were filled with wonder, as no doubt this man was, as he was jumping and praising God. And all the attention for this healing is turned towards and points towards Jesus. Remember the words that Peter used? In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We pick up the story just a chapter later on in Acts chapter 4 and hear these words from verse 5 following. The next day, the Jewish leaders, the elders, and the teachers of the law gathered in Jerusalem. They met with the high priest, Annas, and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others who belonged to the high priest's family. They made the apostles stand before them and asked them, "How did you do this? What power do you have, or whose name did you use?" Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being questioned today about the good deed done to the lame man and how he was healed, then you should all know, and all the people of Israel should know, that this man stands here before you completely well through the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from death. Jesus is the one of whom the scripture says, 'The stone that you, the builders, despised, turned out to be the most important of all. Salvation is to be found through him alone. In all the world, there is no one else whom God has given who can save us. The members of the council were amazed to see how bold Peter and John were, and to learn that they were ordinary men of no education. They realized then that they had been companions of Jesus. All this happens to the consternation of the Sadducees. The impression of the situation is that Jesus is this threat to their power and to their authority. That was the reason why they handed Jesus over to the Romans to be crucified. And now Peter and John are before the same committee, in the same place. They're preaching in the name of Jesus. They're healing in the name of Jesus. And although they've managed to have Jesus crucified, the threat of Jesus is still present through the apostles, Peter and John. And so Peter and John are arrested on that same day, and the next day they appear before the Sanhedrin, the same court which arraigned Jesus and handed him over to the Romans to be crucified. This is not looking good for Peter and for John. The high priests, Annas and Caiaphas, were there. Both figured in the trial of Jesus. And now Peter and John are being called to account for their actions, because an impression has been made, not only on the beggar that was healed, but an impression was made to the people who witnessed that, all the people in the temple, and of course to the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees and the scribes. But note also the impression that these people have of Peter and John, because they leave behind an incredible impression, one of courage, one of faith. But there's a deeper impression. Neither of them had been to any rabbinic school, had done any form of study. As we read in verse 13, these are ordinary men of no education. They were lay people. Their only qualification was they had been in the company of Jesus. And so through their actions and through who they were, they left an impression on the people around them. We always leave an impression on the people around us. And people around us leave an impression in our lives. A friendly cashier at Pick and Pay or Spar or some other shop leaves an impression. A rude teenager leaves an impression. A powerful speaker, a helpful waitron, a smiling passerby leaves an impression. A talented actor or actress leaves an impression. A concerned friend leaves an impression. So I ask you again, what impression are you leaving in your wake? Is the impression that you're leaving in sync with your faith? Is it in sync with the kingdom of God? So what impression are you leaving in your wake? Is the impression that you're leaving in your wake, is it in sync with your faith? Is it in sync with the kingdom of God? Those people that impact our lives, the way we impact other people's lives, the impression we leave, is the impression in sync with our faith? Jesus had a huge problem with the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they went about their lives looking religious, acting pious, but on the inside it wasn't a true reflection of their faith. They were creating an impression, but Jesus looks at the heart. Jesus looks at our hearts. What impression are we leaving in our wake? Is it an impression that's filled with grace and with love? Is it an impression that's filled with forgiveness? Is it an impression that's filled with hope and with joy? Is it in sync with the kingdom of God? This morning I want to leave you with two verses that will challenge us as to leaving a Christ impression in our wake. The first one comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 14, and it reads like this. You are like the salt of the whole human race. But if salt loses its saltiness, there is no way to make it salty again. It has become worthless. So it is thrown out and the people trample on it. You are like light for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. Second verse comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And that reads like this. You yourselves are the letter we have, written on your hearts for everyone to know and read. It is clear that Christ himself wrote this letter and sent it by us. It is written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and not on stone tablets, but on human hearts. Every day, you influence at least 7 other people. Every day, you leave an impression in your wake. Let's do more in our lives to just leave a mark. Let's leave an everlasting impression that points towards the glory of God. Let us pray. And so, Lord, we thank you for your challenge. Always remind us, Lord, that we're always leaving an impression. People look at us. People make impressions, receive impressions, understand things, interpret things. May we always leave a Christ impression in our wake, an everlasting impression. And may that impression, Lord, always point towards your glory, towards your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so we conclude our time together as we sing together, Take My Life and Let It Be, Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my life, take my moments, take my ways. May we leave an impression as Christ works through us. Take my life and let it be. We sing together. Thank you again for worshiping with us. And so I pray that God's blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit would be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.